Hare Krishna, very dear devotees, welcome back once again to our ongoing series on the glories of our beloved Sri Vrindavan Dham. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pastraja Deshutarine. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, we are continuing with our series on the samadhis of our acharyas, and this will be part 7. And today, I would like to discuss the samadhi ceremony for Srila Jiva Goswami, and conclude with his Suchaka Kirtan, as we've done with other acharyas. Srila Jiva Goswami was a veritable jewel in our disciplic succession. There's a saying I heard last year in Vrindavan that as a small spark is enough to burn a whole forest, a lion to scare a herd of deer, a single ray of the sun to nourish the lotuses of the world, a dark cloud to excite each and every peacock, so a scholarly leader is enough to enlighten the whole world. So such a devotional scholar was Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada writes in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 17, I'll quote, "To understand Lord Chaitanya, one has to follow the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and especially the path chalked out by Srila Jiva Goswami." And of course, the Gaur Gonadesha Deepika by Kavi Karnapur attests to Jiva Goswami's greatness by declaring that in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami is the gopi Vilasa Manjari. Actually, in my research about Jiva Goswami for this lecture, I found so much information about his life and teachings. We could go on for days. It actually reminds me of a verse from the Bible, from John 25, where it's written, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would have to be written." And so too it is with Srila Jiva Goswami. Of course, one example of his greatness is his literary contribution. In his life, he compiled around 25 books with 400,000 Sanskrit verses. He would actually compose these verses in his mind and immediately write them down with a wooden stylus on palm leaves. And each verse, of course, was a priceless gem. Perfect meter, rhythm, poetry and meaning. And he is actually considered the greatest philosopher of all in Indian history. Sri Jiva's primary literary contributions, the Satsandarbhas, provide, a written record of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, particularly to defeat the impersonal school of thought. And Sri Bhavadev Bidyabhushana praised Jiva Goswami as follows in his writings. He wrote, "By the mighty spade of his nectarian words, Jiva Goswami tossed aside the dirt of fallacious Sankhya arguments and recovered Krishna's splendor from the pit of Vivarta Vada. May he be our refuge." May he be our refuge. In a Srimad Bhagavatam class in Detroit, the 13th of June, 1976, Srila Prabhupada said of Jiva Goswami, "Sri Jiva Goswami is the nephew of Rupa Goswami. In the learned circles of Bengal, they say that such a big scholar and philosopher has not appeared in the past, and nobody expects a similar philosopher and learned scholar in the future." He was such a big personality, Jiva Goswami. Big, big Mayavadis. They were afraid of Jiva Goswami's logic and argument to establish the Vaishnava philosophy. Prabhupada's words. So again, much can be said about him, but today we'll focus mainly on his departure later on in the class. So to begin with, Jiva Goswami was the son of Anupam, who was the younger brother of Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. Anupam passed away earlier in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Jiva Goswami eventually followed his two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, to Vrindavan, he accepted what's called the Charan Sharan, or the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami, who at that time was living, of course, in the forest of Vrindavan. And in time, he became the only initiated disciple of Sri Rupa Goswami. Scholars say that the family relationship of uncle and nephew was insignificant in their relationship, Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, compared to their relation as guru and disciple. This is very beautifully described by a poet named Govinda Das. He wrote in the Brajbhasa language a book entitled Padavali. Now, there's a number of books entitled Padavali in my research in the Vrindavan Research Institute. I came across many Padavalis by different authors. And some were written in Bengali, some in Brajbhasa, some in Oriya, some even in Sanskrit. The particular Padavali that we're going to quote is actually an unpublished book in the Vrindavan Research Institute. But it was so nectarian what we came across, I had it translated and copied this particular part of that book. This Govinda Das has written very beautifully the relationship between Rupa and Jiva Goswami. The toenail of Sri Rupa was light emanating from the moon for Jiva. The divine yet sweet knowledge of Rupa was the sky for Jiva. The lotus mouth of Sri Rupa was the universe for Jiva. The sweet words of Rupa were the satisfaction of the senses for Jiva. Serving the lotus feet of Sri Rupa was the ultimate goal of life for Jiva, and the shadow of Sri Rupa was the protection for Jiva. In such a way, Sri Jiva Goswami's world was surrounded by his beloved master, Sri Rupa Goswami. Poor Govinda Das missed the chance to serve Jiva and Sri Rupa, who are the ocean of sweet nectar. We thank that particular devotee, Govinda Das, for that sweet explanation. Now, it's well known that despite from being the same family, Sri Rupa Goswami gave simple services like cleaning, filling water pots, collecting wood, and watering plants to Jiva Goswami when he was young. Nevertheless, every instruction of his guru was very dear to his heart. And slowly the result of these services awoke affection in Sri Rupa Goswami's heart for Jiva Goswami. It is said that Jiva Goswami became the blue-eyed disciple of Sri Rupa, means the favorite disciple, or he was actually the only disciple, and was given, Jiva was given the important service of later on editing Rupa Goswami's books, as well as writing Sanskrit commentaries on those works. Became a very intimate disciple. Every morning I was reading, Jiva Goswami used to carefully handle those scriptures, which were sometimes wet with the tears of Rupa Goswami. Another service that Jiva Goswami rendered in Vrindavan was to greet all the exalted devotees who would come to see Sri Rupa Goswami from places like Puri and Bengal, South India, Kashmir. So this is how the days and nights of the youthful life of Sri Jiva Goswami were spent in service to his master, Sri Rupa Goswami. His life was only service of Rupa Goswami. So then, in the year 1654, on the day of Shravana Shukla Dwadasi, Sri Rupa Goswami departed this world and returned to his eternal seva as Rupa Manjari in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. One can only imagine how devastated Jiva Goswami was on that day. Actually, Sri Narottam Das Thakur reveals the pain that such elevated devotees feel for those saintly persons they love when they leave this world. He describes it very nicely, it's intense, very deep in his Prarthana. He writes, I will smash my head against the rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. The day after his departure, Rupa Goswami's divine form was placed in samadhi in Sevakunj, next to, or you could say in the compound of the Radha Damodar temple, in a place where he had done bhajan for many years. He was not placed in samadhi near Gomatila, which is that small hill where he discovered his Prandanahe, his most beloved deity, Govindadev. Because as I explained some months ago, work had begun there already on Govindaji's big temple. It was basically a construction zone. So Jiva Goswami decided that he would be placed in samadhi near the Radha Damodar temple. Then in time, gradually, with the departure of Sri Rupa Goswami, as well as many other associates of Lord Chaitanya, all properties, havelis, kunjas, forests, and kuns, and deities, which were the responsibility of those saints, came into the care or the possession of Sri Jiva Goswami for the purpose of, you know, preserving them, you could say, for future generations. But in time, Jiva Goswami himself grew old, and he was growing old. So one evening in his old age, concerned about securing and preserving and continuing the teachings of these acharyas, he called for many local sadhus, scholars, writers, village counselors, followers, disciples, to come see him. And he wanted to discuss his last will and testament. He wasn't near his departure date, but he was growing old, so he always had a vision for the future. So he called all these personalities, and in their presence, he sat down and he personally wrote his own last will and testament. You can imagine what a gathering that was. All these great personalities, he's sitting there, he's writing his last will and testament, just to make everything clear how things would go on after his departure. He wrote it in Sanskrit to begin with, and later on that occasion, he copied it in Bengali. Then he asked for specific witnesses, you know, they were all sitting there, to come forward and sign the will as witnesses in his presence. Now, as many of you know, that original will still exists in the Vrindavan Research Institute. And fortunately, it has been translated by our Hari Prasad Das of the GBC Shastric Committee. And I would like to take this opportunity today to read to all of you Jiva Goswami's will in full. I consider this like a special moment in our Samadhi of the Acharyas series. I have it here before me, so I'll read it to all of you. The English translation is very eloquent English, so I'll have to read a little bit slow here. I'm sure it was written in a very eloquent way as well. It reads as follows. November 1606. The following is the final will of the Vrindavan resident by the name Jiva. He's writing this. The constant follower of the lotus feet of the greatly renowned Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan, whose names are worthy of being chanted. Whatever activities have been performed by me have all been performed to facilitate the service of my worshipable lordships, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who are present in their deity forms. Firstly, I give this service to the saintly natured soul exclusively dedicated to the service of the Absolute, Sri Vilas Das. Whatever paraphernalia has been collected for Sri Sri Radha Krishna's worship should be known as belonging to Sri Vilas Das after my departure. However, if on the destruction of my body, he, Sri Vilas Das, due to renunciation or incapacitability, or being incapacitated, wishes to be relieved of the service, and if the supreme saintly son of Sri Bharat Acharya, the Brahmin named Sriman Krishnadas, desires to be situated in the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna at that time, then Sri Vilas Das should himself hand over all my paraphernalia of worship, along with the worshipable deities and everything else, including books, through another will. In this, there is no other person who can claim any rights. Everything that belongs to me is being offered by me, so how can anyone else have a say in this matter? If anyone opposes this, then certainly he is a heretic and punishable by all the Vaishnava kings. If the Brahmin Sri Krishnadas also is incapable of performing this service, then Sri Vilas Das should willingly surrender everything to another fully eligible person. If Sri Vilas Das wishes to retire from the service in my mortal presence, then all decisions will rest on me solely. That this is my handwriting is a fact that can be testified by thousands. Moreover, those who saw me writing this will are also witnesses to the same. If it is not clear that certain handwriting is mine, then it should be considered if someone has enviously written something fake. However, if caution is exercised after my death, then this letter will be clear enough to convey my will. I am also writing the same in Bengali alphabet. That too should be considered as evidence. And I pray to all those who are my well-wishers that they may kindly help me in this matter. Auspiciousness to everyone. Auspiciousness to everyone. Wow. Srila Jiva Goswami's will. So, on another page, there's a list of the witnesses along with their signatures. And I saw, because I had the great good fortune in the Vrindavan Research Institute to not only see this will, but to hold it in my hands and touch the writing of Srila Jiva Goswami. And I saw that in the witnesses, one of the witnesses is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. What an august assembly of devotees. Now, after all the witnesses signed the will, they all had a big kirtan. It's described they had two kirtans. Each kirtan was 4 hours long. And they all danced and chanted in ecstasy. Then, years later, I think, it was on the third day of the bright fortnight of the month of Pausha in the year 1618, that Srila Jiva Goswami completed his final pastimes on this earth planet and departed for Goloka. It is written on that day that a wave of tears inundated Vrindavan and the sound of lamentation could be heard everywhere. His samadhi was dug in the same area where his early life had passed in serving his spiritual master at Sevakunj, next to his Lord Domodar, and where the library he established was located at that time. His samadhi was dug in such a way that the samadhi of Sri Rupa Goswami, which had previously been dug in the compound of Radha Damodar, and Jiva Goswami's samadhis were in one line. They were in one line like that, together. Some distance apart, of course, because if you visit Radha Damodar temple now, you know, there's Rupa Goswami's samadhi, then there's all the beautiful deities, Dhammadhara, etc. And then off to the left is the samadhi of Srila Jiva Goswami. An interesting fact is that his samadhi was dug deeper than Rupa Goswami's samadhi. The tradition is that if the samadhi of the guru is nearby, then the samadhi of the disciple should be dug deeper so that he's on a lower level than his spiritual master, out of respect for the guru. As we do, we always sit below our gurus, out of respect for the guru. And the samadhi of the disciple, of course, should be much smaller. And that's the case. If we go today, again, to Radha Damodar temple, we'll see that large samadhi of Rupa Goswami and a smaller samadhi of Jiva Goswami. I was reading that at that samadhi ceremony, an earthen water pot with an open nose and a walking stick was placed next to Jiva Goswami's samadhi. And at the conclusion of the ceremony, all his disciples and followers came forward and placed coconuts and coins on the samadhi. Interesting detail. As a sign of gratitude and homage. Actually, the culture of placing coconuts and coins in Vedic ceremonies is always a gesture to offer respect, or you could say to congratulate someone, or again to show a mood of gratitude. And I was reading that in ancient times, whenever kings would visit their gurus, they would offer a coconut with a gold coin on top of it to their spiritual masters. So to end our class today, I would like to finish with the Suchaka Kirtan of Jiva Goswami. We've discussed the meaning of Suchaka Kirtan many times in this series. So this Suchaka Kirtan, sung by the followers of Jiva Goswami on his disappearance day through the centuries, was written by a disciple in the lineage of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whose name was Sri Raghunath Das. He took initiation in that lineage of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very beautiful, heartfelt offering to Jiva Goswami. Again, like I said in previous lectures, it would be nice to sing these, you could say, bhajans on the disappearance days of these acharyas. But for today, I'll recite the translation. Very beautiful. Long, but relishable. He writes, the Suchaka Kirtan of Jiva Goswami, he writes, Sri Jiva Goswami is an ocean full of the jewels of Krishna Prema. O Prabhu, please give me your mercy. I am the most fallen, but I want to sing your glories. This will keep me out of Maya's clutches. O Srila Jiva Goswami, you are the son of Anupam, who is very devoted to Lord Ram. Anupam is the younger brother of Sri Sanatan and Rupa Goswamis. O Jiva, you know all scriptures, and you have revealed the inner meaning of Sri Rupa Goswami's writings. With your mind filled with detachment, you immediately renounced everything and went to Navadvip Dham. Upon seeing Lord Nityananda, you fell down at his lotus feet and cried. Lord Nityananda put his lotus feet on your head, then he lifted you up and embraced you. Overwhelmed with Krishna prema, your body shook and displayed other symptoms of ecstasy. In that condition, you spoke the following. The name of Nityananda Prabhu will deliver the entire universe and give bliss to all living entities. You have given your mercy and your own qualities to this fallen one. Such mercy is so rare, Lord Nityananda, that even Lord Brahma doesn't deserve it. Lord Nityananda replied, Sriman Mahaprabhu has given a special land to your family, so immediately go to that land of Vrindavan. Overjoyed by hearing Lord Nityananda's words, you went to Vrindavan, my dear Jiva. While walking to Vrindavan, you constantly chanted Hare Krishna and cried profusely. Continuously you called out, O Rupa, O Sanatan, when will I see you? Please keep me alive until then. Some days you drank only water and ate only a few chickpeas, but eventually you arrived in Mathura. You lovingly gazed upon Mathura and then slowly walked to Vishramghat in Vrindavan. You bathed in Jamuna, drank her pure water, and slept on her sands. The next day you went to Vrindavan. Upon seeing Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, all your desires were fulfilled. You wrote Sri Gopal Champu, which fully describes the nectarian pastimes of Braj. The Tatsandarbhas and your many other works give full explanation of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Anyone who reads or hears these books will soon become a devotee of Krishna. Your body is always adorned with all sattvika bhavas, symptoms of ecstatic love for Radha Dhamodar. Your body radiates spiritual happiness and your mind loses its equilibrium when you recite Srimad Bhagavatam. You always worship the divine couple and serve their transcendental conjugal pastimes within the groves of Vrindavan. You always meditate on Goloka and the loving pastimes of Radha Damodar. O Jiva Goswami Prabhu, this foolish rascal can't survive without your mercy, which sustains my very life. After many births of accumulating pious acts, I have taken this rare birth wherein I have attained the service of your lotus feet. By touching a drop from Sri Jiva's ocean of mercy, I have attained the jewel of prema, pure love for Radha and Krishna. Raghunath Das calls out, O Sri Jiva Gosai, my only desire is to become your follower. Please protect me and give me the shade of your lotus feet. Hare Krishna. That's a wonderful song. Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhupada ki. So thank you, Prabhu. We'll finish here. We're in Budapest, Hungary at the moment with our traveling tour. And in a few hours, we're flying to Paris, France, to go to New Mayapur to observe Vrindavan Eshwari Srimati Radharani's appearance day. I'm very excited. I'm getting very emotional because I haven't been there in 36 years. So looking forward to that. So we'll address you next Friday or maybe shortly after because I'll be arriving back in Vrindavan around this time. So either that next Friday or a little after, we'll continue with this series about our beloved Acharyas. Thank you so much. All glories to Prabhupada. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Shri Varashama Sundar ki, Vrindavaneshwari Srimati Radharani ki, Mayapur Dham ki, Shri Shri Gauranitai ki, Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yagya ki, Dai Go Premanandi. Jai Jai Shri Shri Radhe.